Our scripture this morning comes from John chapter 14, verses 23 through 29. Jesus answered him, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, 'I am going away, and I am coming to you.' If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe." This is the word of the Lord.
I often say this, that I think there's a special place in the kingdom of heaven for people who come to church on a holiday weekend. So blessed are you. And I was thinking of, too, in my church in Texas, we used to call one side of the church the saint side and the other side the sinner side. And I don't even remember which side it was. It was just a joke. So either we're really light on saints or really light on sinners, because we're all kind of weighted on this side here. I have some really good friends who are disciples pastors, Joe and Dawn, husband and wife. They serve a church in Texas, and some of you got to meet Joe. Joe was the best man in my wedding, and he was here a couple of years ago. Let me make sure this is set here. I've known Joe and Dawn for years. They've been married for 20 years, but I knew them before they were even a couple, and I was in their wedding even. So I saw them. It was one time I saw them at our denominational national convention, the General Assembly, which happens every couple of years, and it's the only time I see certain people I went to school with and pastors I know from other parts of the country. So it was ending, and we were saying our goodbyes, and that's kind of a sad moment, because you might not see this person for 2 years, or maybe they won't come to the next convention, you won't see them for 4 years or whatever. So, you know, there's kind of some sad goodbyes there, saying, you know, okay, I don't know when we'll see each other. And so Dawn was saying goodbye to me, and she was saying, "Oh, it's so been so good to see you, but don't know when we'll see each other, you know, again here, you know." And so it was kind of a sad and a heavy goodbye. And I said to Dawn, Dawn, I'm visiting you all in a month. Didn't Joe tell you?" And you know how it is. Joe and I had arranged this, but sometimes husbands and wives don't communicate important information to each other. And Joe and I had arranged everything, but he hadn't told his wife about it. And so what was at one moment was a sad goodbye, like, "Oh, I don't know when we're going to see each other," became a, "Oh, I'll see you in just a little bit here." And the interaction changed. The mood of the interaction changed quite a bit there. It became just a happy interlude rather than a sad goodbye. Well, Jesus is saying goodbye in the scripture text we read here. In fact, there's, I think, three chapters. John 14 through 17 are what we often call the farewell discourses. Jesus is saying farewell to his followers, his disciples, and giving a very long goodbye. And Jesus' time, his earthly time, is short with his disciples, and so he's giving out some last instructions, last things he wants to get into to his followers. And Jesus says something really interesting. He says, "I'm going away, I'm coming to you." Now that "I'm going away," that's hard. We know what sad goodbyes are like, don't we? I had a lay leader in my church in Highland. John was his name, and John had been the chair of the search committee that brought me to that church. And so John and I had a closeness that way, and John was just a big supporter of me, and kind of a small world kind of thing. John, in fact, attended Hazelwood in the 60s when he was a student at Ball State. And he has memories of practicing piano in the fellowship house and things like that. And John was just someone the church relied on, and he sang in the choir, he was an elder, he headed up a whole bunch of things, and John was just kind of the go-to guy. We'd say, okay, John, we need somebody to take care of this, and you knew that John could take care of this. And he was not only beloved in our church and the community, he had been an English teacher, a high school English teacher for decades and retired, and so there was generations of students that loved him. And I remember we were sitting in a meeting, and I don't even remember what we were talking about. But somebody said, John, can you maybe help? Could you help head this thing up? And John said, well, he said, maybe. But he said, I might be moving to Colorado. And I remember there was the heaviness of that. And sure enough, a few months later, he moved away. And it was heavy because we liked him. We loved John. He was an important part of our lives. But we thought, okay, what are we going to do without you, John? We rely on you. Who's going to do these things that you do, the things that we expect you to do? How will we do them without you, John? What will we do if we can't turn to John in these moments? And there was that feeling of abandonment. You understand that feeling, don't you? Feeling abandoned. Maybe your mom or your dad said he or she would pick you up after school, after your sports practice. And you sat on those front steps for hours, wondering, is mom or dad going to come? They forgot you. That feeling of being abandoned, like this poor little kid, this sad little kid here. Or your best friend, the person you love so much, moves away, and it's just not a part of your daily life anymore. The person you rely on, the person that's so important to you, just ups and dies, and you feel so alone. Don't you think it had to be that way for Jesus' disciples? Here Jesus, he's leaving. How do we go on without Jesus? How do we do this thing without him around? What does it mean to be his followers without him? We'll talk as I mentioned, with the kids in a week, we'll get to Pentecost, but we often call this time ascension because Jesus, his physical presence is taken away. And so as Jesus is taken away, of course, his disciples have got to ask, okay, Jesus, if you're not around, then what are we to do? Jesus says, I'm going away. I'm abandoning you in a way. But he says, if you love me, you would rejoice that I'm going to my Father. What he's basically saying is, you should be happy for me that I'm leaving. I've told you this before it occurs, but I'm coming to you. This is the part, I always look in the passage and say, what makes me scratch my head a little bit? And this is a bit of a head scratcher. I'm going away, I'm coming to you. Now, the I'm coming to you, that's a little more hopeful, isn't it? Now, if it's somebody that you don't like who calls you up and says, hey, I'm coming by your house, that's not too exciting, isn't it? But most of the time when somebody says, hey, I'm coming your way, that's a little more exciting. Imagine your good friend, that good friend who moved far away, said, and you get a phone call, and that friend says, next week, I'm coming through town. Let's get together. Let's spend some time. That's a little more exciting, isn't it, than I'm going away, the I'm coming to you, or the family member who moved away, moved to a different community, and that family member says, I miss you all, I miss home, I'm coming back, I'm moving back home. I don't know, I have never seen an ice cream truck in Muncie. Does Muncie have ice cream trucks? Do they? And they must not come through my neighborhood. Oh, we got too many retired folks in my neighborhood. But my neighborhood in Northwest Indiana, about this time of year, you'd start to hear the ice cream trucks coming and going. And there was the big truck like this, and there was a Hispanic man. He had this cart that he pushed, and he had a bell, and he'd just be ringing it going up and down the streets. And so I'd be sitting in my home, and maybe the windows were open. It was a nice day, and you'd hear that tune of the ice cream truck. You know what I'm talking about? You'd hear it in the distance, but you knew what it was. And it would come, it was sort of a grid in my neighborhood, the streets were a grid, and so it'd be coming up and down parallel streets to my street, and so you'd hear it get a little closer, and then you'd hear it fade away, and you'd wonder, okay, is it on one of those streets that's close by? And then it would get louder, and it would fade, but there was that moment when I knew it was coming up my street. The tune would get louder and louder and louder, and then eventually I could peer out the window. I could see it coming down the block. Now, I know ice cream trucks, their main customer is kids, but you know what I was doing at that moment often? I was digging in the couch or my pocket, seeing if there was some change there or seeing if I had a buck or two in my wallet, and I'd go out there and meet the ice cream truck because, you know, that sound of that ice cream truck tune said, I'm coming. I'm on my way. The ice cream truck is coming. So Jesus says, I'm coming to you. So I'm scratching my head here. He says, I'm going away. I'm coming to you. So part of me wants to say, okay, Jesus, are you leaving? Are you staying? Are you going out? Are you heading back in? Are you returning home? Are you moving away? I mean, which is it, Jesus? You seem to be saying two different things at the same time here. We get what Jesus is talking about in verse 25. He says, I've said these things while I'm still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything, remind you of everything I've said. When Jesus says, I'm going away, he's saying, okay, my physical presence is maybe taken away here from you, but I am coming to you. And while he's saying, okay, I might not be with you anymore like I am, I'm physically present with you, I will be with you, he says, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And though you may feel abandoned, what's really happening is kind of like when you hear that tune of the ice cream truck coming down the street. He says, I'm coming. With the power of the Holy Spirit, I will be with you. You see, sisters and brothers, we are not alone. I mean, we forget that. I forget that. We forget that the presence of the Holy Spirit is with us. We forget that Jesus is with us through the Holy Spirit. And I'll admit, I'm as guilty as anyone. I begin to convince myself that somehow I believe that everything relies upon me. I feel like somehow it's all on my shoulders. I begin to think everything will sink or swim based upon what I do or don't do. But I'm wrong when I think that way. I forget that Jesus hasn't left us. Jesus hasn't abandoned us. Through the presence of the Holy Spirit, Jesus is with us. And Jesus lays out in this passage some of the things the Holy Spirit does. He says the Holy Spirit will teach you, will remind you of me, remind you of the things that I've said. The Holy Spirit will give you peace, will take away fear. He says, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid. Sisters and brothers, that's for us. For us. We are not abandoned. We are not kids sitting on the front porch of that school wondering if mom and dad will ever show. We're not the pet abandoned on that country road because the owner decided he didn't want a dog anymore. We're not people crying at the airport because our loved one is gone and is not coming back. We are not abandoned. The Spirit is with us. Jesus is with us through the Spirit. You are not alone. We are not alone. We have comfort. We have peace. We're not afraid. We know and we learn what Jesus said as the Spirit teaches us. It's like my friends Joe and Dawn, as we were saying goodbye. We were saying goodbye, and it's for a moment it seemed like a sad goodbye, like a tearful goodbye, but the good news soon overwhelmed those tears. The good news that we'll see each other so very soon. It's no different from what Jesus does with his disciples. He says goodbye, but his goodbye is really, I'll be right back. Amen.